This is an MUT Radio podcast.
We are closing off Yonagi Heritage Month, and I told you we are going to be closing it off in style. Just gave you a beautiful song before I forget by SNL musician Mthandazo Kacha, Anzo and Kenzo Betty Intliziyo right here on MUT Radio. But right now, we have something amazing, man. Today we are joined by Professor Simangaliso Raymond Khumalo, who is a South African theologian, academic, and church leader. Now he's best known for his work, in particular, theology, religion, and public life, particularly exploring how faith interacts with issues of democracy, social justice, and development in South Africa. Now, he has served as a professor and head of School of Religion, Philosophy, and Classics at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, which is UKZN. And he is joining us live right now on MET Radio. Prof. Khumalo, welcome to MET Radio.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Yes, it's very heartwarming to have you live with us on MET Radio. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be here.
Yes, thank you very much. So I want us to get into it. We are closing off Heritage Month. Maybe before we even get into that, our interview today, maybe what does Heritage Month mean to you?
I think it means generally what it should be meaning to most Africans, not only in South Africa, but everywhere in the world, a moment of celebrating who we are, which we have always been denied historically, because we are told that there's actually nothing worthy to celebrate from our history, from our culture, from who we are, the values, the principles, the things that we believe, the things that we've created from time immemorial as Africans have always been pushed on the margins of society. And we've always been made to celebrate what we've been taught through religion, and especially Christianity, which really didn't emanate from our culture and who we are, and also maybe things that we were taught at school. But heritage reminds us that we as a people, as African people, as South Africans, and as whatever group that we belong to, have something that we need to look back to that over the centuries has developed as part of our culture, heritage, and contributions to the well-being of everyone in society.
Wow. That is very insightful, Prof. So maybe if we can get into it. You are a South African theologian. Maybe if you could explain to someone who is not an academic, what does that mean?
Okay, you mean to be a theologian?
Yes.
Yes. Theologians are those people who spend their lives reflecting on how people relate or seek to relate to the ultimate being or the transcendent being or the powers that are beyond, the creator and the spiritual realm that we find ourselves also having to interact it with as human beings. Because human beings are not just flesh, but they are also spiritual, they are emotional, they are psychological. They are also religious. And in fact, one of our great theologians, John Mbiti, said that Africans are incurably religious or notoriously religious. People believe, they go to something that is, and they seek something to hold on that is outside of themselves, and they believe it influences their lives. So theologians, therefore, try to understand and reflect on what is it that people believe in, how do they express their beliefs, and maybe how does those beliefs shape and influence who they are and their contribution to life and society.
That is very insightful, Prof. You seem to know more about this. So maybe if I can ask, maybe in your own view, maybe what unique role can religion play in addressing today's pressing social issues? You know, we are dealing with the likes of poverty, inequality, and also moral decline. In your own view, how can religion play a role in addressing these pressing social issues?
Yes, thank you. That's a very helpful question that you are asking. We have a history, even in this country, that religion has the ability to mobilize people to work together, to seek a contribution and even make a contribution to the greater good of all people and all of society. And so it helps us to develop our moral compasses as a people. It helps us to seek to overcome the temptations to succumb to things like the ones that we see these days, corruption and hating one another and hating the success of society as a whole, but to always have a vision that each one or each individual has a calling deep down in them. You don't just exist for the sake of existing and making numbers of human beings on earth, but you exist for a purpose which is to contribute to the development of society, to making life better for all people in society, to overcome the obstacles and the challenges that are faced by people that limits them in trying to have life in its fullness. So religion helps us. That's why religion provides education where necessary, provides health, provides development, and any other area of life that is going to enhance people's lives. That's religion's, even including politics and democracy. Religion has to make a contribution there by bringing about good and liberative political systems and institutions in society.
Oh, that is very amazing, Prof. So maybe you have also published widely in topics such as church and politics, leaderships and religion's role in shaping democratic values. But I want us to focus on this one, democratic and politics. Maybe, you know, during apartheid, churches were deeply involved in the political struggle. Now, if we look back now, how should they be engaging with the politics in the democratic South Africa? How should churches?
In fact, churches have to contribute to the processes of maturing democracy, so that democracy doesn't just become a political idea that people have and they can think of or they can ignore if they want, but it becomes a way of life, just to live in a society that enables everyone to participate in the formations and development and even decisions that are being made that affect people and their well-being. So democracy, in fact, of course, democracy, like many other political systems, it's not necessarily a religious system or term, not at all, but it is it is the most is the system that is more closer to the human rights that people uphold that are consistent with their faith, because it allows every human being to participate in maturing and making democracy instead of other people being marginalized and not being able to participate and being pushed into the margins. But democracy allows everyone to participate if it's held properly. It is not, as Jean Rousseau once said, it is not, in fact, he put it in a crude way when he said democracy is the worst form of governance, but it is better than the rest. And so there is no other system that we can prefer from other than democracy, with even with its own weaknesses, And even with Christianity and theology, democracy enables people to use their own God-given rights and minds and then to participate and contribute in making the decisions that decide their lives. And that right to participate for every human being can never be taken away by anyone. So and democracy allows that.
Wow, that is very insightful, Prophet. Now, you know, we have different views, and I've seen somewhere that people have argued that churches should stay out of politics. Maybe what is your take on that?
The question, Leila, is what do they mean by that? Because no one can stay out of politics. Human beings are political entities themselves. They are political beings themselves, because on a daily basis, they need to be making decisions about their well-being. What is politics? Politics is about participating and making the decisions that enable on how people can run their lives, can share their resources, can have freedom to participate in building institutions that are going to uphold their well-beings and promote it in society. So no one can be outside politics. Churches themselves are political entities, because they also have to have structures. They are institutions. They are organized. They have constitutions. They have rights. They've got positions and all that they need to elect and all that. That is political on its own. And politics, in the secular politics that we're talking about, when politicians say churches must stay out, what are they talking about? Because they themselves are products of the very same church that has taught them to be, to think in a particular way politically. You go to parliament and wherever people are, those people on Sunday in large numbers are in their churches. They are being influenced and shaped by the theological teachings and the expositions that is changed. So that shapes how they are going to vote for policies in parliament. There is no way that any human being can abdicate the responsibility of participating in political processes and still hope to influence society to move to the right direction that's going to influence them.
Yes, Prof. Now you have touched me somewhere, because now you say there is no way that the churches cannot get involved. Now, let's say they have gotten involved, Segenzega. How do you see maybe the role of faith leaders in holding the government accountable today? What role can church leaders or faith leaders play?
Exactly. That's a good question. We always have to deal with the question of church-state relations, which is an old question. It's from time immemorial. They've been battling to say, how do we position the church? What role does the church play in this? The fundamental principle is that when the government is doing things that are promoting life, that we call them life-giving in the world of theology, they give people jobs, they give people resources to live, health care, freedom, liberty, justice, and all that. The responsibility of the church is to assist and support and even clap hands for the government when it is doing that. But when government starts denying people their rights, the right to exist, the right to fundamental basic needs of society, then the church needs to say, you are not just denying human beings. You are actually denying God's people their God-given right to food, to water, to security, to freedom, to liberty, to justice, all of the above. And if you deny, because no human being has a right to deny anyone those rights, then the church, which represents God, needs to warn government and say, you can't be allowed to do that. You need to be supporting people, not only the few who are privileged, but every human being. Because before God's eyes, all people are equal. They're all created in God's image. They all deserve the same rights that they must have to have life in its fullness. And so the responsibility of the church, when we say it is a watchdog of society and towards government on behalf of the people, we're saying it has to continuously get engaged with government to encourage and cheer government when it's doing the right thing, but also to challenge government when government is not doing the right thing. That's how the relationship should be.
That is very insightful, Prof. Khumalo. We're going to go back to the music and try to take comments from listeners when we come back. But yes, we're still continuing our conversation with Professor Smangalis Raymond Khumalo, joining us live right here on ABUT Radio as we are wrapping up Heritage Month. So if you have any questions, hit us up on 068-160-8832. But right now, let's go to this side. When we come back, we're still continuing with our conversation. Music coming in from Morgan Wallen. This one is called I'm the Problem right here on MUT Radio. Just 24 minutes before 12, before we connect your morning to your afternoon. Right now, we're still continuing our conversation with Professor Khumalo, who is joining us live on MUT Radio. Prof, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Yes, yes. Now, we were speaking about, before we head to that beautiful song, we were speaking about people saying churches should not get involved churches should not get involved in politics. Now, I want us to continue with our conversation. You've also written papers on leadership. Now, I want to ask from you, from your perspective, maybe what defines ethical leaderships in both church and the state?
Yes. Well, in fact, at its best, good leadership and ethical leadership is selfless leadership. It's leadership that seeks to serve others and not to serve ourselves. And that's so that in every action that an ethical leader has to take, the question that they ask is, how is this to benefit me or is to benefit others, even with me included as part of society, but not necessarily me as an individual? If one follows that kind of principle, one will find that they stand on high moral ground that enables them to serve society much more ethically, and it helps one to do that. So it's the question of who is this leadership benefiting? Is it the leader or the people who have elected, nominated, chosen, inducted the leader? That's the question.
Thank you very much, Prof. Now, I'm going to put you on the spotlight with this one now, because I want us to maybe to get into maybe how, maybe from your perspective, do you believe that South Africa's current leadership crisis is also a crisis of values, because we are in a crisis as a country?
It is indeed a crisis of values. That's true. And you know, I was listening this morning to SAFM, and somebody asked a question that intrigued me and intrigued even the presenters and all that in the morning. The person was asking the question, how is it that we as a South African community, and not only South Africa, but Africa, we are the most religious countries or nations on earth, you know. You are talking about African traditional religion, which is rooted in us. If you are talking about Christianity, which was brought to us by people from Europe who are no longer caring about that religion, their churches are collapsing and are being closed overseas. We are building more churches and developing more Christians in here. But we seem to be more struggling more with corruption and democracy than the countries that no longer believe, that have lost religion and Christianity. Why is it that we don't seem to be doing better as people who have religion on their side? That's a very, it's a fundamental question. And the answer to that may be because even in our religion, we have undermined the significance of values, so that religion is not adding much into the making up of a complete human beings. You know, people who are holistic, who are much more intellectual, they're much more in their thinking, they're much more knowledgeable, but also they're much more rooted in their ethical conduct and values that they uphold. I think religion has abdicated that responsibility and taught something that is different. But if we were to teach that, maybe go back to that, maybe that's the contribution that religion can still make to the South African society, especially now in these difficult times.
Now, I don't want to keep you very long, Prof. Now, maybe if we can move on very quickly. Are there maybe some risk in linking religion too closely with democracy? Because you know that we are very diverse in terms of faith and beliefs.
That's a good question. If you had asked me earlier, I would have said generally, religion is also not helpful when it dominates the political space. You don't want that. But as well as the politics, it shouldn't necessarily be controlling and dominating religion. The two need to stand with one another, maintaining their relative autonomies. That is very important. And interact when necessary to enrich and support one another. Religion has the contribution to make in the formation of a holistic society and holistic values. That is important. But politics also has the role to protect people's right to believe, to protect religion, and create the environment where religion can thrive without impinging on people's rights, but in promoting their rights, freedom, and life. So that's what needs to be. The two have to work together to enable each one of them to succeed and be better.
Thank you very much for that answer, Prof. Now, before I let you go, if you had to leave one message for young South Africans about faith and public life, maybe what would it be?
One wants to encourage our young people. I'm always amazed in the way that in spite of the disappointments of religion, but you still see a lot of our young people flocking into all sorts of religions, whether it's African traditional religions, it's Christianity, any form of, they are taking religion seriously. My advice to them is, if they would ask the question, how does my faith help me to become better as a person, improve my own so the life and career and the developmental way of living, and how do I improve and all that, and how do I use my religion and its values to make myself a better leader and to hold leaders accountable, simply because I'm drawing strength and resources from my religion. That's what I would say.
I'm taking also that one as a young person myself. Professor, thank you very much for joining us on MUT Radio. We really appreciate your time.
I appreciate the invitation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.